They look at us and they just say, well, you go to church so much, you do this and you do all that. I said, yeah, but they forget the fact we go to heaven too. It's such a joy to be here again tonight with you and praying for you. I really have been. I've taken the card. You have it tonight? Yeah, take it out. This is actually my second card. The first one is on the wall in my room. Above a desk. Who does not have one tonight? So let's make sure they all have one, preacher. If you want one, get one. If you don't want one, get one. I took one and such a wonderful apartment you have over there. Very lovely, very comfortable. And I've certainly been able to get good rest. And I've taken a card and there's a little tabletop there, a little desktop. And I took one of these, and it's right on that wall. So when I sit there and do my study, I see it. When I get up in the morning, and I see it. Anytime I walk by, it's there. We might say, well, preacher, you're not part of our church. You're not going to feel. No, that's right. I'm not part of your church, but I am part of the family of God. I do participate in Faith Promise in our church at home and our missions given. You call my pastor. You want to call and say, Brother Sousa tithe? Is Brother Sousa active in the missions of our church? He'll tell you the truth. We've been involved very heavily, Bob. I really believe in this tonight. You have your card? Hold it up. Let me see it. Hold it up. We're going to pray. Hold it up to the Lord. Father, we lift tonight these cards, our alabaster box, Lord, tonight. The precious ointment of our love and of our giving. We pray tonight you'll lead us and guide us and direct us in your will and our giving for the cause of souls around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I have often said, and I believe it with my whole heart, that missionaries are God's choicest servants. One of our mission conferences that we had, I never forget it. It was a missionary to a faraway place. Saturday night, we didn't have any preaching. We had our international dinner. And then we had, like, question and answers for all the missionaries. You could ask them questions, nothing personal, but, I mean, what's the food like and, you know, what the people like. Any type of questions you might have. It was very interesting. I'll never forget the question. One of our ladies asked one of the missionary wives, says, what do you miss most? Leaving America on the foreign field. Well, I began thinking, well, washer, dryer, electricity, maybe indoor plumbing, you know. She thought for a moment and she says, I guess the thing I missed the most, she said, is macaroni and cheese. That's the heart of a servant of God. She wasn't concerned that she had to go down to the river to wash her clothes. She wasn't concerned she had to put the bug repellent on her. She wasn't concerned that sometime you had to shake the roaches out of the bed before you can get in. But a simple thing like that. I guarantee you, before she left our church, she had more macaroni and cheese than she ever had in her life. But that's the heart of a servant. Tonight's message, it's going to be simple. We're going to get you out in time tonight. This is not the type of message that will elicit a lot of amen, glory to God. It's not that type of message. It's not the type of message that will elicit a great response, perhaps. But it is something we need to know tonight, and what the Bible says about God's principle of giving. You see, giving to missions was not invented by men to collect more money, but it was discovered by the study of the Word of God, that God has a plan to support missions around the world. I was talking to a preacher just before the service, and one of the missionaries, I was looking at, I said, all of these flags, starting with this one, and all the way down to Costa Rica, Chile, and all the way around here, and ending up right over here. At that flag. Isn't that the goal? Starting with our country all the way down, all the way around, all these souls to end up at the cross. You see, missions is not so much about money. Yes, we'll talk about that tonight. It's not so much about money, but the end result, missions is talking about souls. That's what we're talking about. We're not raising money to feed the hungry, although we will do that. We're not raising money to clothe the naked, although we will do that. We're not raising money for medical supplies, although we will do that. We're raising funds to send the gospel into the world that men and women and boys and girls might have the same joy that you and I have here tonight in this service. And so tonight, you let me please show you from the Word of God, God's principle in giving. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to be as brief as possible. I mean that sincerely tonight. So if I seem to be rushing, you'll understand why. But there's some things we need to know tonight. I got a kick out of the preacher. He said, make sure my microphone's not muted. It reminded me of a woman come up to me one time after the service. And she says, Susan, you don't need a microphone. You need a muffler. There is nothing in your life that God is not concerned about. I don't care what it is, from the smallest part of your life to the greatest aspect of your living. God has a concern for everything. And God has a plan for everything. He had a plan for salvation. That when man sinned, God didn't sit up in heaven and say, oh my, what am I going to do now? What is plan B? No, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God had made provision. Didn't take God by surprise. God has a plan for everything in salvation. God has a plan in godly living. God has a plan in our giving tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start here and find your way down to verse number 2, near the top of the chapter. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required. You are a steward tonight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has given it to you that you can give it to the world. I've often said, and it's not original with me, but it sure burns on my heart tonight. It's from the cross to the church to the world. That's God's plan tonight. And God wants us to be faithful to Him. Here is the basic premise of the Christian life. Folks, if you get nothing else from my preaching this way, if you get nothing else from anything I say, get this tonight. The basic premise of the Christian life is God owns all that I have. Let's say that out loud with me. God owns all that I have. Let's say it again. God owns all that I have. Once you settle that matter, giving is no problem at all. Once you settle that matter, serving is no problem at all. Once you realize that everything you have is God's, then it takes an awful large burden off of you. I remember I had a fellow one time, he gave me a car, and a brand new car, gave me a New Yorker to drive around. Beautiful car. God just gave it to me. I said, God, I don't want this. I give it to you. And that car ran for 250,000 miles and never gave me a problem. Until a lady runs a stop sign. So I got another car. I sat in a dealership. My hands, he gave me the keys after you sign all the papers. My hands are on a steering wheel. God, I let go. This car is yours. And I'm there, and the salesman is looking out the window, and he sees me. He comes out to my door. He taps on the window. And I look at him, and I go, yeah? He said, is everything okay? I said, yes, sir. Why? He says, well, what are you doing? I said, just giving my car away. He said, who'd you give it to? I said, God. He goes, okay. I was going home. Brand new car. I was going home. I stopped at in a line of traffic. The woman in front of me in a large SUV was going to let another car in front of her. So she puts her car in reverse and doesn't see me. So she backs up right into my hood. I just got it from the dealership. So I said, okay, Lord, we got that over with. She gets out of the car. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. It's not my car. And she says, well, who is it? I said, it's God. She goes, oh, no. But takes all the pressure when you realize everything you have is God. God, your house needs a new furnace. God, your car needs new tires. All that I have belongs to God. God owns all that I have. Why? Because the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Everything we have, our life, our soul, our possessions, belong to God because He purchased it. Now, how would you like to purchase something and not own it? How would you feel? You bought something, say you bought a refrigerator from a store and you have it in your house, and a week later, somebody from the appliance store comes and starts looking in your refrigerator. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just looking, seeing what's good. He said, that's my refrigerator. I bought it. He said, I know, but I just want to use it anyway. But that's what a lot of people do with their life and their money. It belongs to God, but they use it for themselves. A lot of times I tell young people, I used to make a big mistake with young people by saying, give your life to God. Give your life to God. Your life is God's. How are you going to give God something that He already owns? So what I have begun thinking is just quit robbing God of what's His. And so it is tonight. We're going to look at the principle of giving here in this scripture. You see, when we talk about giving to the Lord, it is not, we think we're giving our money to God. What's the basic principle? God owns all that I have. It's not how much you think you give to God. It's how much of God's He lets you keep for yourself. And you talk about tithing. Well, I give 10% of my money to God. No, you don't. God lets you have 90% of what's His. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And when you look at it from that perspective, it sure changes everything. What is God's principle for giving? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We see the principles of our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection. Here we go. Talking about the... And you know, I know we say it. We're going to take an offering tonight. We're going to take an... The Bible talks about a collection. Not take... Someday, preacher... I would love to take the offering. I mean, we get offering time, you just sit there and open up your wallet, and we take the offering. That's not how it is. We have a collection. Yes, sir. And this is what he's saying here. He says, now let's talk about the collection. Let's talk about the collection. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. We notice, first of all, there is a day of collection. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, not Monday. Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. I refuse, utterly refuse, to carry a pocket calendar that starts at Monday. I know that's the business week. But my business is Sunday. I was in Staples one time and I saw that. I couldn't find what I was looking like. And I don't like the ones I was looking at because they all began with Monday. And they had three big boxes. I took all three boxes and I brought them to the counter. And the lady says, you want all of these? I said, I don't want any of them. They're printed wrong. It's the first day. You see, that's why you need to be in church, because that's when the collection takes place. And if you miss a Sunday, sick or ill, you double up the next Sunday because it's still God's. And you go on vacation, don't give it when you get back. Give before you go. You'll have a better vacation too. So we see there is a day of the first day of the first fruits of what we have. Then we notice who's involved, the involvement of people. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, well, here it is, that's everyone. Everyone should be involved in the matter of giving. Everyone. You say, well, I don't have much. That's okay. If you only have, if a child only has 10 cents, a penny can go to God. I was in a missions conference and Todd Jones, 8 years old, took a commitment card. It started like this with a dollar, but above that there was other. He checked that and he put 25 cents. 8 years old. Every week he brought 25 cent missions offering to the Lord. He did not ask his parents, Dad, I need 25 cents for a mission offering. No, he went out, he collected cans that had deposits and collected the deposit on the can. He'll do some work, he'll do something. But I was just talking, his mama, Julie Jones, called me. And she said, you would not believe Todd. Every week he sits there so excited that he's going to give his Jesus money in the collection. That's what he called it. A quarter. Now, parents, don't you try that. But I mean, it's good for 8 years old. You can afford a whole lot more than that. But everybody involved, that's why everybody in the home should have a card. All the kids. Now, you make one check for the week, that's fine. Any way you want to work that out. But let everybody be part of the missions given. Be part of giving to God. And he says, let every one of you. So we see the involvement of everyone. We see the day of collection, the involvement of every person working together. And you say, well, I'm only one person. It's like a snowflake. We had a girl in our Bible college, came to Bible college from Brazil, never saw snow in her life. And all of a sudden she says, what's that coming down? I said, that's snow. And she says, snow? I've seen pictures. But she says, and she put on her hand and it melts. She says, how does that accumulate? Just wait. One snowflake. Nothing. What happens when they all cooperate together? Right? And so it is in the Church of Jesus Christ tonight. One person can't do it all. And another person can't do it. It takes the involvement of everyone doing their part together. Now, let's go on. Okay, we see the day of the week, the first day. We seek the involvement of the individuals. That's everyone. And then we notice it says, lay by him in store. In other words, you put it aside until the first day of the week. Maybe you get paid on Monday. Well, then you wait till Sunday. You lay it aside. You don't pay all your bills and see how much you have left over and how much you can give to God. Simple mathematical formula, 10% is your tithe. And so you lay that aside. If you get paid on Friday or Wednesday, you lay that aside. Or if you get paid every 2 weeks or you get paid monthly, whatever it is, you lay it aside until the first day of the week, everyone together in the collection here. And by the way, the Bible says if you say, well, I'm going to borrow the Lord's money and I'm going to use it over here and then pay it back later on, God has a penalty for that. In Leviticus 27:31, God says, if you redeem your tithe, in other words, you use it for something else and pay it back later, add 20% to it. A fifth part thereof. That's God's interest charge. You use God's money for yourself. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. It's in the Bible. You're reading this with me? Am I telling you the truth? It's right here. It's plain and simple. Okay, so we lay aside. Now, as God hath prospered him. That's proportional giving. As God. This is the fairness. We see the day, the first day, the involvement, everyone. We see the method. You lay it aside. Now we see how fair it is. Proportional giving. Not equal giving, but proportional giving. And so a man that makes $100 tithes $10. A man that makes $1,000 tithes $100. It's proportional giving. This is the tithe. We didn't get to the missions giving yet. We'll get to that in just a moment. But here, it's proportional giving as God has promised him. Not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Proportional. And that's what Malachi says in Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? And the people began arguing, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You read Malachi, by the way, there's more in Malachi than just tithing. There's a whole lot of other things God accuses people of. And every time God does, God's people said, wherein have we? Wood, don't argue with God. And he points out their sin. And so we see the fairness of the giving. We see it in Acts 5. We see it in Acts 4. We see it in Acts 11. Proportional giving of our income. That's for the work of the ministry. Electricity, heat, air conditioning, maintenance of the building, the salaries, the materials, the bus ministry. That's where it comes from. But now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now we're going to see the free will giving to missions. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And go down to a verse, let me see, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. This is not tithing. You see, we'll see this in a minute, how this ties in here. And all the previous verses talks about the churches of Macedonia and all. This is a purpose in your heart. You see, tithing, simple math. 10%. You don't purpose that. It's a mathematical formula. That's what it is. But now he's saying, now, as you contemplate, as what's upon your heart, this is a different kind of giving. You see? The tithe, you don't purpose in your heart. Calculate it out, boom, you got it. But here, the Bible says, in verse 7, every man, according as he purposes, see, not proportional giving. This is different than the proportion as God has promised him. That's a different type of giving. As he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity, not because somebody laid it on you. Now, tithing is of necessity. God commanded the tithe. God says the tithe. But here, we have now that which you purpose in your heart. That's why this says free will mission offering. That's what you're praying about. Lord, what you laying on my heart. Now, folks, again, can I say, please don't be upset when preachers talk about money. Remember last night? That's a tender spot. Something wrong, right? Something wrong on the inside. Something wrong. It ought not to hurt when a preacher talks about money. And said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I often told my folks, I would say, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but also accept if I'm a grouch. One man said to me, he said one time, he says, I can't give cheerfully, so I'm not going to give. I said, you should. He says, why? Because then you only commit one sin instead of two. The Lord loves it. You know, the offering time ought to be a happy time in the church. I mean, it ought to be an exciting. I appreciate ladies at the instruments during the offering. Oh, God bless you. This dear sister, I just love watching. She's playing, and she's singing. Her hands are going back and forth, and her foot's going back and forth, and her mouth's going up and down. I mean, just the joy of the Lord in her serving God. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought not to come to church like we had a transfusion from a dill pickle. And when the offering time comes, it ought to be an exciting time. We had our folks, they got excited doing the offering. I mean, they were looking, it's getting closer. It's getting, I go put my money, it's getting closer. And they put their offering into the collection plate, and all across the auditorium, you can, amen, glory to God, as they put their offering. It was a happy time. Why? People says, give till it hurts. No, give till it feels good. The amount is the same. You see, this is you're giving on purpose. You're not proportional giving, but purposeful giving here. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But what does he say? Lay up for yourself where? Treasures where? In heaven. Oh, thank you for that song tonight. Thank you for that. Where will you be a million years from now? Let me ask you, where are your possessions going to be? You die, you get the grave, and somebody else gets your car. Somebody else lives in your house. Somebody else wears your clothes. Somebody else uses your golf clubs. Good luck with mine. See, the only thing that really matters is eternity. God's not going to say, hey, you had a pretty big house down there. No, he don't care about that. But what treasure do you have up in glory? And the treasure is invested here and now. And so the scriptures give these principles. Philippians says in 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot outgive God. Let me say this. I agree. Your preacher and I are on the same page. Now, we didn't sit down and correlate anything. We didn't put anything together. But we are on the same page that there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. But when you pray what God wants you to do, you might need a little more faith to reach that. Okay? We all would like to give $1,000 a week. We would love to do that. And if you can, see me right after the service. But... But God promised to supply our need. I was preaching this thought. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. After the service, I preached that. A little boy by the name of, what's his name? Tommy. Yeah, Tommy Jenkins. Tommy Jenkins comes up to me and he goes, he's about 8 years old. He says, Brother Souza. I go, yeah, Tommy. He goes, ha ha, guess what? I said, what's that, Tommy? He said, today's my birthday. Today's your birthday. He said, yep. I want to show you something. He pulls out a billfold. He said, pulls out a brand new $5 bill. He says, I got this for my grandma. I said, woohoo, Tommy, that's a lot of money. And he goes, I want you to have it. Tommy, I can't take that. That's your birthday money. He says, you have to, preacher. You said you can't outgive God. But Tommy, I took it. Went back to my room that night. I fell on my knees. I said, God, bless that boy. I mean, I don't care how cold-hearted an evangelist is, taking money from an 8-year-old, birthday money from an 8-year-old boy. But he was so insistent. Next night, I preached again at the missions conference. He goes, hey, Brother Souza! Hey, Tommy, how you doing? I'll show you something. Takes out his wallet. Pulls out a $10 bill. That's from my other grandma. I said, woo! He says, see, can't outgive God, can you? I said, nope. He goes, I want you to have it. I said, Tommy, you just gave me $5. He said, nope, I want you to have it. All right. My heart was broken. Oh, Lord, bless him. Next night, he's standing in front of me. I'm ignoring him. I'm looking over the top of him, and he's just waiting very patiently. And I'm looking, how you doing? Good seeing you. And he's right there, you know. And finally, he pulls my jacket. And I go, Tommy, Brother Souza, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, gotta show you something. Oh, no. He pulls out his wallet. He pulls out a $20 bill. I said, Tommy, that's a lot of money. He said, yep, want you to have it. Tommy, you gave me five. You gave me ten. Now you're going to give me 20. I'll give God, can you, preacher? I hate it when your preaching comes back to you. I reluctantly. The next night, as soon as the service was over, I did not go to the back as I normally do. I went to the side door where the pastor's study was. I shut the light and sat in the dark. I heard the organ playing, people, you know, shaking hands and saying goodbye. And then it got real quiet. I figured it's almost safe to go out. All of a sudden, the door opens, and it's the pastor. He turns on the light and said, hey, Billy, excuse me, hey, Tommy, he's in here. Tommy comes in, and he goes, hey, Brother Souza, Tommy, guess what I got today? I said, what's that? A brand new bicycle. My daddy got me a brand new bicycle. I said, you know what, Tommy? I think God wants you to have that bicycle. He says, I do too. And off he went. But I learned a lesson from that 8-year-old. Now, folks, I'm not saying you do that. It's going to discount. Yeah, I'm not. But he had the faith. And God laid that on. If you have the faith, what God lays on your heart, not just you said, well, I want to see if this works. That's not faith. But if you know what God wants you to do and you do it, you can see God work in your life in such a great way. So this is purposeful giving here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, go back one chapter. And I'll wrap this up now. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we would do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. He said, these churches in Macedonia were going through a hard time. They were under heavy pressure, under heavy burdens. They were poor. And yet they gave liberally. I have found out about these missionaries and other missionaries, but personally, I have found that many times the smaller, struggling church gives so much sacrificially. It's so... I got a check the other day from a church. You could probably put them all in the choir loft and they still have a lot of room left. And my wife looked at it and says, how can they afford to do that? I don't know. These were the churches of Macedonia that were given to the other brethren. Just like we are the church in Loomis giving to the other brethren. We may not have much. We have our own bills. We have our own problems. But yet our liberality abounds. And notice what else he goes on and he says here. In verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They gave more than they thought they could. Even beyond what they thought they could give, they gave. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Talking about the money. That we would receive the gift. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There is the key. They gave themselves to God and said, God, it's all yours. After that, the rest is easy. The rest is easy. And Paul says, we took their gift. And we were able to help others. And we were able to give to others. In verse 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abounded in everything, talking to the church in Corinth, said, listen, you've grown. You've abounded in faith. You've abounded in utterance. You've abounded in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love toward us. See that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. You abounded in everything else. Now, abound in this. I'm going to close tonight. I got a few things more on that, but it's okay. I believe God would have us settle where we're at tonight. God owns all that I have. Would you say that again? God owns all that I have tonight. Would you give to Him then, which is, let Him have it, which is tonight? I am not, you might think me less spiritual than for doing this, but I just don't feel led of the Lord tonight to have a come forward type invitation. Not everything's done at the altar. It's a good place. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. It's a good place to get things done. Last night, I wept on the phone as I talked to my wife. I said, honey, last night, there were folks that come down the altar. And it wasn't easy for some of my dear sisters to come, but it came. It's been there. Why? Because she wanted to bring that alabaster box to Jesus. Wanted to give it to Him. What's stopping you tonight? What's stopping you tonight to say, God, You own all that I have. Please, purpose in my heart what I should give. And give me the faith to commit to it. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. We'll have an invitation, but not a come forward. You can if you want to. Of course, the altar is always open. But tonight, I want you to please bow your head. I'm tempted to say, I hope you were not.